The final piece, Saving Ojibwe, was prepared for National Public Radio by Mary Lozier. It originally aired on December 17, 1996. It appears on page 57 of the Oshkabewis Native Journal.
The Naashing School sits in dense forest on the small reservation of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe. A sign in Ojibwe and English welcomes visitors to the school's first annual language fair. Teachers stand by tables with Ojibwe language workbooks, games, and homemade picture books. There are t-shirts painted with Ojibwe words. To one side, tribal members watch a puppet show by three 14-year-old girls performing in what is no longer their people's first language. The audience is mostly older people, the only generation able to speak Ojibwe fluently. Like 58-year-old Ojibwe language teacher Ellarine Weyass, they learned the language at home.
My parents, that's all we ever spoke. I couldn't even speak English when I first started school. And when I look at a teacher, it looked like her mouth was just going, but I couldn't understand what she was saying. It was really hard.
Because Ojibwe-speaking children faced so many difficulties in an English language school system, many members of Weyass's generation did not teach their native tongue to their own children. The students at Naashing School are the second generation to speak only English. A recent survey of the 3,000 members of the Mille Lacs Band found only 200 who spoke Ojibwe, nearly all of them 45 years old or more. As these remaining native speakers age and their numbers thin, the tribe has stepped up efforts to teach Ojibwe in school. Instruction now begins in the tribe's newly built preschool and daycare centers and continues through 12th grade. The school hopes to purchase computer software and is developing Ojibwe language videos and music. Sylvia Norberg, a Guatemalan who is part Mayan and heads the Mille Lacs language program, says one of the first things she did when she was hired last year was convince tribal elders to work with a young, non-Ojibwe-speaking music teacher to develop new songs in the language.
At the beginning, they weren't very sure because this was something different. They said, well, we already sing. And I said, yes, we respect that, but what we're going to do is nothing related with religion. Like right now the children are listening to the TV, listen to radio, and they hear songs. So those songs are not helping your child, the children, to learn more Ojibwe.
Norberg says children sing in Ojibwe on the bus now. To her delight, she's even heard from some parents who say their kids are driving them crazy at home with the songs. Ojibwe language teacher Millie Benjamin, who has taught at the school for years, says the new approach is making a difference.
You hear kids say things in Indian more outside of school now than before. And that's because I think they hear it more. We have elders in all our classrooms now to speak with the teacher, and they hear it more, and already it shows that even that little bit helps.
But even the most optimistic supporters of the new program know it will be a difficult struggle. For 100 years, the United States government made a systematic effort to wipe out Native American languages and religions. Federal laws forbidding Native American religious practices were not repealed until 1978, and the scars of such policies can still be seen on the Mille Lacs Reservation. Tribal elder Batiste Sam remembers being sent as a teenager to a government boarding school where she was forbidden to speak her native language. Even though she now works with children in the schools to teach them to speak Ojibwe, she fears the effort may have come too late.
I used to hear old folks from back days, like my great-grandmother used to say, everything is going to be lost. Everything is going to be turned to white people way. Everything. That's what they used to say. I believe it. I see it too.
Others worry that even if children can be taught Ojibwe in the classroom, something has already been lost. A language is not just a set of words, but a unique way of thinking. Angie Ross, an Ojibwe teacher from the White Earth Reservation in northwest Minnesota, worries that a generation of children whose first language is English will never see the world the way a native Ojibwe speaker would.
Our language is picturesque, and something's happening as you speak. And so when we translate that over, that's lost. At school, I find myself thinking, even for a simple thing like an owl. The name of an owl is a gu-ku-ku-u. Okay, I don't even have to shut my eyes. It's in my mind. I picture that owl, and he's doing gu-ku-ku-u. You see? And you can't pass that on to the kids.
In addition, the Ojibwe language is extremely complex. It's divided into two realms, the animate and the inanimate, and words vary depending on which realm the subject inhabits and many other factors. A given verb can take hundreds of subtly different forms. Even the words for color change with the object described. Again, language teacher Millie Benjamin.
We have the basic colors, Ozawa, Wabashka, Ashkibagung, Ozjawashkwa, and then the word changes with shapes. And types of material. For if they're round, then say, let's say a word down there is Ozawa. If it's a round brown thing, or yellow or orange, then it would be Ozawa Minagad. If it was cloth, it would be Ozawegad.
But Anton Troyer, an Ojibwe who teaches history at the University of Wisconsin and a leader in the effort to revitalize the language, says those obstacles can be overcome. Troyer, who now edits an Ojibwe language magazine, the Oshka Bewis Native Journal, learned Ojibwe as a second language and speaks it fluently. He says there are a number of successful precedents for what people on the Mille Lacs Reservation are trying to do.
For example, the Whitefish Bay community in Ontario teaches the first three grades entirely in Ojibwe, and then they switch over to English and Ojibwe starting in the fourth grade. Another one, for example, at the White Earth Reservation in northwestern Minnesota, there was a pilot immersion program just for the kindergarten. Those kids were singing songs and speaking Ojibwe and much better than their parents, I might add, just from 1 year of the program.
Troyer and his wife are teaching their own baby daughter to speak Ojibwe. She is the first native Ojibwe speaker to be born on the White Earth Reservation in 60 years. Troyer urges adults to learn the language too and speak it at home with their children. He says it's time to act now before a vital part of the Ojibwe identity is lost.
Without the Ojibwe language, it is impossible to conduct our most important religious ceremonies, our big drum ceremonies. Medicine dance, shaking tent. Our elders clearly state that these ceremonies can only be done in Ojibwe. If we lose Ojibwe, then we can't communicate with the Great Spirit that way. We can't keep our culture going.
Down the road from the Neyashing School, the Mille Lacs Indian Museum sits on the birch-covered shore of the lake that gave the band its name. Inside the new building are beaded bags and grass dancers' costumes, jingle dresses, and a birch bark canoe. Saving a language is harder than preserving artifacts. There are only 300 children in the Neyashing School, and the future of the Ojibwe language on the reservation depends on them. But Larry Matrius, the Mille Lacs elder who is helping to write the new songs used in the Neyashing School, believes Ojibwe will not die. After all, it takes only a little while for a child to learn a language.
Right now, I got a 2-year-old that stays with me now, and we talk to him in Indian all the time, and he picks it up easy, you know.
For National Public Radio, I'm Mary Lozier.